Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's shout it from the rooftop.
Excuse me a second.
So many stairs!
And now, here's Bill Handel.
KFI, AM 640. Bill Handel here. It is Friday morning, March 31. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Of course, the big story we're covering, the indictment of Donald Trump yesterday. I've done a couple of segments. Going to do it again. Or take another tack coming in next segment, and what happens if, and the Constitution, and I'll spin on that. What a fascinating day to say the least. If you missed any part of this show, for example, you want to go back to those two segments, we're on demand. All you do is go to the iHeartRadio app, and there are every segment of this show and every show that we do here on KFI. As I said, just go to the iHeartRadio app. Now, one of the other big pieces of news that would have exploded but for the indictment of former President Trump, it's still big news, and that was the conviction yesterday of federal corruption charges, Mark Ridley Thomas, who has been a supervisor for many years, county supervisor, immense power, a city council person. He was termed out of the supervisor's office. He'd been a city council person. And when he was arrested 17 months ago, what they did is they took him off the council, suspended him pending what's happening. Well, needless to say, he's not going to the city council anytime soon unless they plan on having city council meetings in prison. And what he was convicted of is getting special benefits for his son from SC and at the same time voting in support of motions in favor of SC and a contract that was awarded by the county to SC. And the prosecutor said, put all that together, you've got corruption on your hands. The jury deliberated 5 days. And now Ridley Thomas, he's 68, is facing years in federal prison. We'll see how long. The jury found him guilty of 7 counts out of the 17, I think, that were charged, 19 that were charged. And they are conspiracy, bribery, honest services. When you're an elected official, you have to provide honest services, mail fraud, and honest services wire fraud. And he did not move while the verdict was read. And so what was the ultimate fact pattern? Why did the jury go by way of conviction? There really was one major, major fact that the foreperson of the jury said. And that had to do with a $100,000 donation from Ridley Thomas's campaign committee to USC, to a nonprofit led by his son. That was just too much. And what the jury spokesperson said, it ended up being a $100,000 donation. That's all it was. In exchange for benefits for his son. That was it. It's a pay for play. That was it. Nothing more, nothing less. And it had to do with the dean of the School of Social Work at SC. This lady by the name of Marilyn Flynn. She's already been convicted of this and is awaiting sentencing. So she was a former dean. And the prosecutors outlined a conspiracy that Ridley Thomas's son, was then a member of the state assembly, wanted to go. He was expressing interest in attending USC's graduate social work program. And Flynn was totally in favor of this. And she told the elder Ridley Thomas, we're going to give your son free tuition. We did the same for Karen Bass, a full scholarship for our funds. Karen Bass was not charged at all. And assistant U.S. attorney said, this is not rocket science, what Marilyn Flynn was looking for here. She was looking for money. And what she got, and for her program, she was working for benefits. In other words, there were contracts out there that I wanted, is what effectively was being said. And here's what I was willing to do for Ridley Thomas's son. And the prosecutors zeroed in on one meeting that happened where the money between Ridley Thomas, or the conversation between Ridley Thomas and her, they discuss her request for county business in exchange for the benefits Ridley Thomas's son was going to receive. That what they talked about it, and that's what the jury said. Ah, come on. Come on. That's not going to fly. So not only was admission and a full scholarship, that was before he even finished his application, a part-time professor's position, and later on the routing of $100,000 through SC into his charity. And, you know, that's a tough one. Now, Ridley Thomas's defense lawyers said, okay, it looks bad. We'll grant you the optics don't look very good, but there was nothing illegal here. There was really no direct connection. It sort of just happened independent of each other. The donation went in. By the way, the admission of the son went in, plus the scholarship, plus the professorship, is something we would have given him anyway, because he had been in the assembly for two terms or a term before he was even 30. And look at the reputation that he had. And the jury just didn't buy it. They just said, no, thank you. And corruption in Southern California, particularly Los Angeles, has exploded. The federal prosecutors have already gotten a couple of three convictions out of the city council. I have it on very good sources that the Board of Supervisors is riddled with corruption issues. And now, I'm not making that allegation. Well, maybe I am. But this is information that I have received, much like I received information about Ridley Thomas, saying, hey, you know, there's more to this than meets the eye. I mean, we've got big issues here in Southern California. Now, this issue of former President Trump and the possibility of him going to prison, and it's just, you sit back and there's a lot of what ifs, except a lot of this is not that far-fetched. I mean, you can take and extrapolate what's going down. This is the first time a former U.S. president has ever been indicted for crimes. So what are, and he's going to continue on with the campaign. Of course he is. Because while most politicians would be wiped out by these allegations, this is a badge of honor. This engages, this enrages his base even more. Because the way he's describing it, this is the worst thing that's ever happened in the history of the United States. What's happening to him is absolutely just the worst incident we've ever experienced in the history of this country. Far worse than the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Far worse than the Civil War, of course. Far worse than the assassination of presidents. This is far worse, going after him in this witch hunt. So he's now running for president. He's allowed to, because you're only allowed two terms, and he lost his second time out, second attempt. What are the consequences of an indictment and trial, potential trial? First of all, let's talk about who is qualified to be the president. Constitution lays it out very clearly. The president has to be 35 years old, a resident of the U.S. for 14 years, and a natural born citizen. By the way, that 14-year residency business really goes back to when the Constitution was first written, and there were a lot of Brits that were living in the United States. A lot of the colonists who were anti-Brit, and they were living in the United States, considered themselves Americans, but were born over there. And so, therefore, if you were living here 14 years, you're fine. You can be the president. And so you've got 35 years of age, a U.S. resident, and a natural-born citizen. In reality, the natural-born citizen stuff is way up in the world of, really? What does that mean? For example, remember John McCain? He was born in Panama, in the Canal Zone. George Romney was born in Canada. Wait, did you know that Ted Cruz is born in Canada? If he ever runs? Still considered a U.S. citizen. Why is that? Isn't he a natural-born citizen? If your parents are citizens, you're considered a citizen. So it the only thing that is absolutely hard is you got to be 35 years old. Once you're 35, you can run for president. I think you have to be 30 to be a senator and 25 to be a congressperson. The Constitution doesn't require the president to be free of indictment or conviction or prison. Actually, all of that, indictment, trial, prison, is irrelevant to the qualifications of anybody running for or being president. Now, you've got some politics here. Can you imagine someone running for president under indictment, maybe being tried, and he just won the election? Now, there's a lot to be said about a sitting president. A lot was written, and most scholars believe that a sitting president can't be indicted, can't be tried, can't go to prison, has to wait until after the presidency. So that's pretty well established by constitutional scholars. But prior to the presidency, running for president wasn't even talked about. It's not even a hypothetical. And so there is one issue, assuming that Donald Trump wins the presidency, and even if he goes to prison, okay, that is, of course, that would never happen, except this is actually real. It's not Martians visiting Earth kind of crazy stuff. I mean, I believe there's some real criminal culpability on the side of Donald Trump. I really do. I do believe he attempted to overturn the election illegally. I believe that. 100%. I believe he took documents, top secret documents, because he never was in compliance with the law and never cooperated with the FBI. That was the raid. That was why the raid was, in fact, done on Mar-a-Lago, because he wouldn't turn over the documents. I believe that's a violation. So if it goes forward, I think there are going to be some convictions. So now we go right into the 25th Amendment, the removal of a president. There's a couple ways of removing a president. Actually, there are only two. One, impeachment. We know about that. And the other one is the 25th Amendment. The 25th Amendment is when a president is no longer able to be president. In other words, he's incapable of being president. And a couple of times the 25th Amendment has been, has in fact been signed. That's when I think George H.W. Bush, when he had an operation and he was under anesthesia and turns it over to the vice president. And I think it was when Ronald Reagan, while he was under anesthesia, he had George H.W. Bush, his vice president, become president, because when you're under anesthesia, you can't be the president. And the president is the president 24 hours a day. Even if the president is asleep, you wake him up. So he's always capable, except when he's not. In the two instances that the presidency was turned over to the vice president for a very short period of time was when the presidents were being operated on, and they couldn't deal with the presidency. They didn't have the capability. And it gets very quick. There's a letter that's written and then another letter as soon as he's capable, and it goes right back to him. Now, what is incapable? If someone is in prison, can the 25th Amendment be invoked? Now, when the 25th Amendment is invoked involuntarily, then it's the cabinet members who meet and vote. And the majority of the cabinet members voting to get rid of the president, take him out of office and hand it to the vice president. And there's 15 people that are legally entitled to that vote, senior members. Has that ever happened? No. Would that happen? Well, let's say you're a cabinet member. Clearly, you're an ally of the president, but you're looking at being in prison. Now, does that mean you can't be president being in prison? Can you make the decisions? Of course you can. But you've got to meet with world leaders. You have to have secret meetings. You have to be able to have access to everything the government has. How do you do that in prison? And so the argument becomes, and again, this is hypothetical, but it's closer to real than hypothetical. This one's just fun. And that is, if anybody could pull off still sustaining the office of the presidency while in prison, there's only one person on this planet, do I think, could pull that off. And guess who that is? Donald J. Trump.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
For sure. And now, since we end Friday, two segments of Neil Saavedra. It's Foodie Friday. Neil is heard on the Fork Report. His food show, which I listen to religiously, Saturdays, 2 to 5 p.m., and he's at Fork Reporter because his address is at Fork Reporter. Neil, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, and we've got a couple of things to talk about. I want to ask you a question as we start.
It's a good way to do an interview.
And that is, are people more interested in baseball and food at the ballpark or what IHOP is doing? What do you think is more popular?
I think baseball's got a lead right now.
Okay. And I ask that legitimately because I want to know which topic I'm going to go first.
You asking me? I'm going to IHOP.
No, I know.
I mean, yeah, God bless them.
I know. Me too.
Go Dodgers.
Yeah, all that. But yeah, I'm not a...
Yeah, I would be going for the food in both places.
Okay, so let's start. We'll go ahead and start with IHOP. That is... you know, a little history of IHOP. Remember when it used to be just pancakes and waffles?
International House of pancakes. Pretty specific.
Now, I think there are four pancakes on the menu, and that's it.
Well, they have quite a lot, and they are actually bringing a very popular one back, which is incredibly decadent but very tasty, and that is the Cinestack. Imagine that the in between each pancake... You've got that icing and cinnamon that you'd find in a cinnamon roll.
Yeah, and it's not too rich, is it? Because let's not forget the maple syrup. Well, not maple syrup. The sort of kind of maple-like, almost maple-tasting syrup.
You're really very specific this morning. But in addition to that, restaurants are trying to get their footing again post-pandemic and really trying to find out how large their menu has to be. They're trying to trim things down, and even the chains are doing it. So they're doing a revamp, and there's like a dozen some odd recipes and dishes they're bringing back, and then there's some that are just brand new. So participating restaurants are going to have, still, like you said, they're going to have the pancakes, but they're also bringing in Eggs Benedict, which is a nice choice, sweet and savory crepes. They're bringing back.
Well, they still have the crepes, but very limited menu. They used to have zillions of crepes.
They will have a nice selection.
Yeah.
It's just tighter right now. People are going to really focus on things they can. Ultimate Steak Burgers, the fish and shrimp. I don't know that shrimp, IHOP is the place I go for shrimp, but they will have it. Fresh salads, new beverages like mango iced tea, strawberry lemonade, splashers. Yeah.
My family loves going. My kids, particularly Barbara, loves IHOP. And spent a lot of time, a lot of hours, a lot of years eating
Marjorie
at IHOP.
Loves it during fall when the pumpkin pancakes are big.
And so I've probably spent more time at IHOP than any other restaurant when the kids were growing up.
You're very fancy.
I'll tell you how we celebrate. 30 years in July, I'm going to be here. I'm going to big celebration. Taking the family to Cheesecake Factory. That to me is high end.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, they're not really a factory.
They are. Part of them is a factory,
but
making the cheesecake.
Not in the local level.
No.
So don't expect to see machinery.
Yeah.
Just a big menu with big portions and tasty food.
Yes, that's
you love
true.
Me some hey, but, cheesecake.
Yeah, let me throw this at you. There are restaurant chains, and the other day I was driving up and down the street, and I saw a Mimi's Cafe was shut down. They're all shut down. And
no, there's Mimi's and there's still. Mimi's still. Oh yeah, there's Los Feliz. There's
all
some.
Right. Well, I used to see them all the time, and you see them very rarely now. I mean, because they had to have shut down 90% of them. So that I'm convinced is true. So what makes a very popular restaurant like Mimi's fail in terms of big picture, and IHOP do just great?
Okay, the size of the two usually are pretty different. I mean, a lot of these chain restaurants were based on family eating out. You don't have to do the same thing for an IHOP. A short stack, some coffee, some eggs, those can be one-offs. A single person come in there, get them. But many of the Mimi's, the Chili's, all these were...
Chevy's.
Yeah, all these were... basically made for families, and families don't go out to eat like that anymore. I don't even have a dining room table. We got rid of our dining room and we made it Max's playroom. So and a lot of people have gotten rid of their dining room.
What do you eat?
What do I eat?
Where do you eat if you don't have a dining room table?
You've been to the house. We have the full backyard set up that we can go eat out there. We even have a setup on our front porch to eat, and oftentimes at the coffee table. But we don't do family meals, although I'm a huge believer in them. It just doesn't work the same way. Schedules are way different, and so it's just different now, and it's harder to go out to eat. We're finding that now and introducing it to Max, and he's really loving when we go out to eat and we get a chance to go to a restaurant or even a Denny's or something, a chain restaurant, which I'm still a big believer in. I think they're an important part of the culinary ecosystem, and they have to live. We have to find a way to make them live. But there's others that are, you know, that are knocking out of the park. Lazy Dog is fantastic. There's all these places that still exist that are doing great value and great food.
They're putting a Lazy Dog in LA Live as we speak.
Yeah, so they're still popping up. They're growing. It's just rethinking what people want. Reducing the menu and giving great value.
I'm very lucky in that my daughters love IHOP, and Barbara likes their pancakes. I had a partner once whose kid loved lobster. That was the favorite thing that kid liked. Big problem.
Well, get a time machine and ship them back into the 1400s when it was considered garbage.
Yesterday, opening day.
Yes.
Baseball.
I know.
I live on the east side
of Los Angeles.
Yes.
I'm very aware, just the traffic alone.
It's crazy.
And
it used to be you'd go to the ball games and you got the hot dogs, the Dodger dogs, peanuts, Cracker Jacks. Literally, that's all you got.
You can't do that. Disneyland, all of these parks, with the exception of Knott's Berry Farm, which started as a food place and brought in, they all had peanuts, hot dogs, the basics, popcorn. You can't do that anymore. You still need those, but the chef Ryan Evans over there at Dodger Stadium knows. A nice guy, by the way. Very nice, humble guy, and knows what he's doing. And they've got so much going on. The LA cheesesteak stand, the 208 there in the field. They've got the Philly cheesesteak sandwich on the Amoroso roll, which is very important. That's a Amoroso Bakery in Philadelphia has been around since 1904, and they are, you know, hearth-baked, and they are the authentic roll to use.
They bring them in?
I would assume so. I mean, many places bring in, if you're a true, you know, Philly cheesesteak place, a lot of them bring in these because
yeah, I think I was at the Anaheim White House the other day.
Well, Chef Bruno.
So Chef Bruno.
That's a big handle.
Those rolls they have are so spectacular. Some of the best bread. And we were having a discussion, do you bake the bread or not? Is homemade. And they said, we get the dough, much like La Brea Bakery at Costco, is they get the pre-made dough and then they bake it fresh.
It's a great way to do it. In any place where you can get that and bring it home to bake off, oh, the smells that come
off. It's fabulous. Well, I always said Costco, I've gotten away from baguettes to the ciabatta rolls. Oh,
who's
man.
A big boy?
Oh,
who's
God.
A big
and
boy?
And they're fresh. You go there and it's always warm and because they go through them so quickly that they're just spectacular.
I've actually traveled. My wife and I have traveled with the Handles and I have seen in multiple countries Bill Handel searching for baguettes. Ham and cheese.
Yes, that's true.
And, you know, hand signals.
But in any case, the Dodger dogs, of course, are world famous. I've never, I like my hot dog with the bun, and you can't do that with a Dodger dog because 6 inches sticks out on either end.
And you're just not used to that.
Yeah.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
No, I want bun. That's funny.
What?
That is...
I don't know what you're saying. Talking about the hot dog...
Yes, you are.
Anywho, there is a Dunkin', a location there in the Dodgers stadium as well. I don't know why my brain just fried. Fried cheesecake on a stick. How's that?
It's like the county fair.
Yeah, so it's a tempura batter and then it's deep fried. I've had it. It's pretty spectacular. It's better than you'd think it is. And it comes with powdered cheese, I think, or powdered sugar on it. New York style cheesecake, one of my favorites, but this is dipped in that batter and topped with powdered sugar and raspberry sauce.
So is it hideous? Who else has a great place? Is it Crypto Stadium, which used to be Staples? Yeah, they have a pork bao, which is just so interesting. It's also $30.
Well,
I mean, none of this is very cheap.
You're going to be paying higher prices. It's one of those things, you know, and some of the concern they're talking about with the new rules in baseball, particularly the pitcher's clock, is that the game is going to move more quickly, possibly even shaving off like 30 minutes of a game. And that means less food and beer time. And, you know, they got to make up for that somewhere as well.
One of the unique things about Dodger baseball, and I'm assuming other parks around the country do the same thing, and I used to go to a lot of games when I was a whole lot younger, is the vendors, the ones with the trays in front of them, and then they sell, and the Dodger dogs, which are wrapped up. And these guys would flip them behind them.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, just doing dunk shots, I mean, over their heads. I've never seen one miss.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the guy's name. Shannon would know. But there's the guy who throws the peanuts at Dodgers. I think he's still around. I think he still does it.
It's just always such great fun. All right. So these venues now have some serious food. It's just you're paying. But let's go to Cup of Noodles announcement.
Hold on. Before we want to go, I want to name one more item.
Okay.
Just listen to this, how they're changing. The Flamin' Hot Corner, which is stand 247 there in the field, it's a hot link corn dog. So it's a Chipotle sausage hand-dipped in corn batter, cheese sauce, hot Cheeto dust.
It sounds great.
They're going for more youthful things in some area, but I just thought that one was a pretty interesting choice. Yes, Pop-Tarts. Is that where you wanted to go?
We can go Pop-Tarts. Let's start with Cup of Noodles.
Cup of Noodles.
Breakfast ramen. But let me ask you, cut a cup of ramen. They have little bits of egg in there anyway. So this mostly
is,
salt.
This is a breakfast. Yeah, they are a salt bomb, period. You can feel it. When you have it. But they're looking at this. Breakfast is really popular. Everybody's fighting for a breakfast space. And now Cup of Noodles, they have this ramen flavor breakfast. It's Cup of Noodles breakfast is what they call it. And they said you're going to have visible ingredients, which creeps me out, of sausage, eggs, And you can customize it just like any of those. You can put hot sauce in it or what have you. But it takes 4 minutes to cook in the microwave. You're adding, you know, water to it.
Yeah, you're not adding salt to it.
No, it has its own salt. And then it's got like syrup flavor in there. It's got the eggs in there. It's got all these traditional kind of...
And it's still, you know, 35 cents per package.
Well, it's $1.18, but that's pretty good.
Yeah, it is. Who was the guy that invented him? He became a billionaire. I think, was he a Korean guy or a Japanese guy that invented the ramen?
I don't know.
I think it was Japanese.
I know who you're talking about, but I don't know his name.
I know, just a guy who just came up with the idea and he's become a billionaire. I love stories like that.
People coming up with an idea and becoming billionaires. I think we all like those stories.
But I'm talking about some really simple stuff, you know, where, wow, I should have done that, and hugely successful. I mean, I truly love that. Okay, so.
These are at Walmart, by the way.
Okay.
Of course they are.
Pop-Tarts, new flavor. I can't even wait for these new flavors.
Okay, listen to this. This one kind of sells itself a little bit. They just this past Wednesday announced the Frosted Banana Bread Pop-Tart.
That actually sounds pretty good. Yeah.
It's going to have to be crap to not... I mean, it's going to have to really be bad because it sounds great. It's a great... They say it's a great balance of banana flavor and spices to mimic the flavor of banana bread.
God, I love banana bread.
So, 8-count box, suggested retail, $3.89. And the thing that I thought was funny is they're launching this. Now, they haven't opened. I checked last night, and they had not opened this part. But they made 60 exclusive hand-knitted sweaters to be available for purchase for $45. And they look like these granny sweaters, but they're, or what do they call them, square knit sweaters where they have
quilts.
The square. Yeah, well, it looks like a kind of a quilt, okay. Thing, right? But they all look like different Pop-Tarts.
Oh, that's cool.
Knit it. And so they're selling, there's some crop top ones, there's longer ones, but they're cute as hell. I mean, not going to work on me.
Yeah, you're not going to do a crop top. Who makes Pop-Tarts, by the way? Which
company? Kellogg's.
All right. So you can assume that they tested these and did focus groups like crazy whenever they come out with anything. That this is not just someone comes up with the idea and out it comes.
Well, they're trying to get people interested.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. And, you know, it's in the, but this doesn't sound like, you know, one of those.
I yelled at Kellogg's, and now I'm thinking differently on that.
But it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. What do you
No, but it matters to me, okay?
Great.
The freaking fork report.
So what do you, Shannon walks in.
You don't want her coming up behind you.
No. What are you talking about this weekend? You already have the show planned?
Well, yeah, we're going to get in these. Well, also, it's April Fool's Day, so a lot of weird stuff comes out on social media of food that isn't ever going to come. So we'll be going through some of that and more.
A lot going on. So tomorrow, 2 to 5 is the Fork Report with Neil.
Yes, sir.
And I'm here from 8 to 11 with Handel on the Law, Marginal Legal Advice.
Which every Saturday is April Fool's.
Yes, that's true. Anyway, coming up, Gary and Shannon as they finish the Friday show. So, Gary, what do you have going?
Well, some of the most consequential court cases we've ever seen. Oscar Pistorius, Donald Trump, Mark Ridley Thomas, and most importantly, Gwyneth Paltrow.
You've been listening to The Bill Handel Show. Catch my show Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., and anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.